Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live today from the Columbus Arts Festival along the downtown Columbus Scioto Mile Riverfront Park. The festival begins today and continues through Sunday. All Sides is here today until noon. Every year, the Columbus Arts Festival brings graphic art, music, dance, poetry, and more to the riverfront for mass consumption. I think it's safe to assume that many of the artists you'll see here this weekend first discovered their passion as children, maybe in a school play or that weekly art class, maybe at a summer camp or community program. Studies have shown a strong correlation between arts participation and academic achievement for the rest of us, too. This hour, we're talking about the influence of arts education. Joining us now is the Director of Community Arts Education for the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education, Tim Katz. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me here.
In the most recent report on the state of arts education in Ohio, there was some good news and some bad news. I guess the good news was that 93% of Ohio schools provide access to some kind of arts instruction. First of all, what counts as the arts when it comes to public education?
Well, that's a good question because a lot of times people just think of visual arts or visual arts and music. But certainly the arts also includes dance and drama, theater activities, and media arts are very important now. So it's really, for us at the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education and for arts educators everywhere, all of those disciplines are really important to arts education.
And they're all counted when we talk about 93% of Ohio schools?
Yes, they are.
And is that about the percentage we should have expected? Is that better than it's been in the past? Is that on par?
Well, I think that's been the case for several years, and we actually have some new data. We don't have a new overall percentage, but what is a bit disturbing is, well, there's two things that I think are of concern about this data and some new data. With the data that you're referring to, which is just a couple of years old, what we find is that art and music are relatively strong, but that dance and theater are very underrepresented. And that is concerning. It's a really small percentage compared to visual arts and music programs. And the fact is that those other disciplines, and now media arts, which has become so important in the 21st century, those things bring skills and development and reach kids that the other arts maybe don't. So it's really important to do what we can to intensify what we do with dance and theater and media arts and education.
Is the dance and theater piece of this less than you would hope for? Is that a function of cost? Does it tend to be more expensive necessarily?
I think it's a function of cost. I don't know that they're more expensive, but I think it's just it's a numbers game for how many teachers school districts can afford. Over the last several years, the state has cut lots of support for public education. And I think it's to some extent a perception thing about what the arts are and what they mean. And those disciplines aren't necessarily at the forefront of mainstream thought, though they certainly should be. The other thing that we have found recently, this is very new data, and we're still sort of processing what it means, but this is Ohio Department of Education data. And that is that the arts programming on the whole in traditional public schools across the state is still somewhat in decline. There have been some losses to arts classes offered, to arts teachers employed, to students enrolled in the arts just over the last 3 years. But the encouraging sign is that the rate of that decline definitely lessened in the last year, and there are even signs that in some areas, some classes, some districts and schools around the state, it's on the increase, so it's starting to swing back up. So we're really encouraged by that.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival at the downtown riverfront. The festival continues through Sunday, June 8th, and will host more than 280 nationally acclaimed artists, as well as food from some of the city's finest local restaurants, and all kinds of performances on all of the stages. For more information, you can go to the link at our website at WOSU.com. www.artsfestivals.org. We're talking about arts education this hour. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. That's 614-292-8513. I mentioned in the introduction that studies have shown a strong correlation between arts participation and academic achievement for anyone who participates in them, not just for people who want to major in it when they grow up. Has that been an argument that has been used successfully in at least staunching the flow of arts from education?
Well, it's a good question. It's certainly an argument that has been put forward for a number of years, and the fact is research continues that only reinforces the notion that the arts contribute to academic achievement and development of all kinds, and students of all ages. I mean, one thing that I think is interesting is that a lot of times when people talk about the arts, they talk about it building self-esteem, and it's certainly true. Somehow I think that might lead to a perception that the arts are a little softer, less important to study overall, but really for me it's just further illustration that the arts should be considered on par with all subject areas, because all learning, all achievement leads to increased self-esteem, and it's important for all students. So it's important to put the arts in the context with every other subject area.
Are there some places in Ohio that are better at providing arts, and are there regions of the state that you're seeing the a contraction of arts education more than others, or is it pretty much across the board?
I think there isn't anything that stands out in that way, because education is still very local, and so even within a district, different buildings can have different levels depending on the commitment and the beliefs of the administrators and the people in charge. The one thing that we did see in the study of a couple of years ago is that in urban districts, there were 10% of schools in large urban districts across Ohio that had virtually no arts offerings at all. And that we see as a big problem.
Is that a because of cost, or is that because of the increased issue about performances on achievement tests and that sort of thing? Why is that?
I think it's probably a combination of those two things. It's a matter of prioritizing, and it's a matter of perhaps not understanding the value of the arts for holistic education and their contribution to the climate of a school, the need to engage students and give them reasons to believe in school as a place for them to develop. I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
How do you evaluate arts education?
Well, that's a great question. There is a lot of movement right now, and in fact, something was just launched this week. It's called the National Standards in the Arts. This was something put together by the National Coalition for Core Art Standards. This is not a federally mandated set of standards. This is teachers all over the state creating art standards created by teachers for teachers. This is not policy, but it's information that can be used to lead to sound policy. So part of what the structure includes is assessment in the arts, formal assessment in the arts, and that is really important, that teachers know how to measure what kids are actually learning in the arts, just like other subjects.
Standards and art seem sort of oxymoronic to me. Art is art. How do you measure something like art?
Well, there's all kinds of things you can measure. You can measure understanding. You can measure proficiency and skills. You can measure. The thing about the standards is they include not just the creation of art, though that's crucially important, authentic creation of original art, but it's also about performing. It's about producing art, presenting art. It's about responding to art. It's about all kinds of skills that involve intellectual capacity, cognitive reasoning, critical thinking, about connecting the art and applying what's learned in the arts to other human endeavors, to other academic subjects, to activities in real life. All of that stuff is really important, and the arts contribute to all that. I mean, one point I want to make is that when it comes to arts education and how to think of it, It's really important that people realize there's no innovation in science, in technology, innovation in engineering, without creativity, without imagination, and without a methodology for applying that creative thought to problem solving. And that's the training that arts learning provides.
Let's talk about responding to arts. Sometimes in really rural districts that are isolated and don't have a lot of money for transportation, we think of them as isolated, not just from, you know, a lot of times it's from those field trips to the art museums, to the theaters, and so forth. But we were talking earlier before the show started about how some kids in one organization had never been to the Ohio Theater before. They performed there with the Harmony Project the other night, and they had never been in the Ohio Theater before.
Right.
What about that aspect of it and being exposed to the arts?
Well, that's certainly crucially important. It's one piece of a holistic arts education. And you're right to mention rural districts because it is more challenging. The transportation is challenging even when you live close to things. And it is something to consider for rural districts. It's a real obstacle. But all over the state of Ohio, there are arts programs and orchestras at all levels and all kinds of performing arts groups that go out of their way to bring kids in and to engage them and give them that exposure. Exposure is important. It's one piece of a holistic arts education.
We are talking about arts education on All Sides today. We're broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival at the downtown riverfront. The festival continues through Sunday. We'll be here till noon today. Hope you can join us. My guest right now, Tim Katz, he's director of community arts education for the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education. Coming up, we're going to talk with the director of Transit Arts. That's a youth arts program of the Columbus Federation of Settlement Houses. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. Every once in a while today is the beauty of live on-location radio. There you might hear some very, very loud noises. That is part of a project here at the Arts Festival today in which they are challenging a couple of design firms to create sculptures with thousands of cans of food being donated by Kroger for this purpose, and then after the art festival is over with, they're going to donate that food to the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. So it's a complete win-win. When you come down to the festival, make sure you drop by and check out those sculptures. They're a work in progress right now. I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to come out, and we'll post some pictures of those on our website at wosu.org/allsides. We'll also post them on the Facebook page as well. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're on location today at the Columbus Arts Festival. Kicked off this morning, actually kicks off at about 11 o'clock officially, and runs through Sunday. For more information, go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. We're talking this hour about the state of arts education in Ohio and about the importance of the arts, especially in the lives of children. Still with us is Tim Katz. He's Director of Community Arts Education for the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education. Joining us now is the Director of Transit Arts. It's a youth arts program of the Columbus Federation of Settlement Houses, Jackie Calderon. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Also joining us is Kat Harris. She's a former student and now apprentice artist at Transit Arts. Kat, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Jackie, Transit Arts had a big night Wednesday night, I guess, with Harmony Project and their concert that night. How does a program like yours differ from what a child might get, say, in a public school environment?
That's a great question. One of the things that the kids tell us is that coming to Transit, well, first of all, they're choosing to come. So no one said you have to be in this class. Mm-hmm. So they get themselves to our programs from all over the city, and they want to be there. So instead of sitting at home playing video games, they're choosing to come to a breakdance class, for example, and work for 3 hours on the routines and then be involved in all these different performances. That's just that alone is a powerful statement.
And Tim Katz, when we talk about that correlation between academic success and the arts, it's not just about arts in the schools. It includes programs like Jackie's.
Absolutely. Community programs are really important, and they provide things that, you know, sometimes the schools can't. It's enhancement. Our position is that K-12 sequential arts education is crucially important, but other programs can offer very, very powerful arts experiences as well, like Transit Arts does.
And in fact, I mean, I have to wonder, as the arts have lost or at least stagnated in the schools, how important these outside programs are, Jackie. I mean, is there more demand than ever, or tell us about that?
It's huge. We have, from our own kids and families, you know, constant demand and wanting more programs. But we also last year partnered with 94 different organizations and individuals in the community. We get constant requests that we can't even respond to because so many people are hungry for that creative experience for their kids.
Kat Harris, you're an apprentice artist at Transit Arts. You started as a student, though, right?
Yes.
What, tell us what it was like and as a kid.
Well, it was really joyful. Like, I started out because my mom found the program, and she was like, you're going to do this. I know you're going to like it. So at first I was very hesitant. I was like, what is this? Why should I do this? But I just fell in love with it for the first year that I did it, and I've been a part of it for 8 years, and so it's like I don't want to leave, and we're like family, and it's great to be around everyone.
Jackie mentioned that one of the ways it differs from the schools is because kids don't have to be there. They choose to be there, and they choose to do work for 3 hours on a routine or something. Mm-hmm. Is that how long you work on routines? Does it really, how much time you spend at one time?
Yes, and sometimes certain routines, like if it's for dance, may take longer to learn if we just get it. And sometimes, especially in the wintertime when we're not as busy, we work on the same routine constantly to make sure it's perfect.
Uh-huh.
And when it does come the summer, when we have to perform, it's perfect and we don't have to stress a lot.
Jackie Calderon, who is Transit Arts designed for?
Our primary core group is young people ages 12 to 21. But as I always say, they never leave. So we have people who came in as young kids and maybe just out of curiosity, or we pulled them off the street or what have you, or a cat, you know, her mom told her to come. But they get kind of sucked into the process and come at it in different levels. So somebody might just participate in workshops for years, but they maybe don't want to perform, although usually they do. And then they might grow into the professional performance team, and eventually they might become master artists with the program. So we have master artists now who used to be kids in the program.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about arts education, what it means, what it looks like, what kind of difference it can make in the lives of a child. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Dennis in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Dennis.
I've just been one for 42 years, and been my experience that art, music, they involve all areas of the brain. They instill planning, they instill listening skills, and they actually extend the amount of time that a child is actually capable throughout a day.
I'm sorry, extend the amount of time a child is actually what?
In school.
In school. Gotcha, okay.
It extends the teachable moment in that child's day.
Okay. All right. And you said you were a teacher for 42 years?
School psychologist.
Oh, okay. I missed that part, too. Sorry about that. Okay, Dennis, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. That's an interesting idea, Tim Katz. It extends the day.
I think it's a really smart insight. I mean, the more time kids spend together in a learning process and in the company of caring adults, who are helping them develop their own skills, the better off they are.
We have an email from Lisa. She says, art really needs to be integrated into the real world more. It needs to be more accessible. How can that be done? Jackie Calderon, I mean, obviously Transit Arts was involved in the real world the other night for the Harmony Project performance, which was fantastic, by the way. Loved it.
Thank you.
But what do you make of that, what Lisa just had to say?
I think that's a perception that a lot of people have, and it's something that we constantly fight. We look at the arts as... is such a broad range of possibilities. And so we're talking to kids for the first time who might say, I only want to play basketball, for example, and I'm not an artist, and then have them examine the various ways that they're actually creative. So it's not, I mean, we of course adore the symphony and the ballet and the museum, but to help kids understand and families to understand, that's not the only way that you can connect with the arts. It's that creative energy that we all have. And so what is your way to be creative, and how do we bring that out of you, and then how does that enhance your life, whatever you choose to do in your lifetime?
Tim?
If I could, I'll give you an example also just that can happen within K-12 schools that's also a real-world experience. And just very quickly, this is from a Martha Holden Jennings Foundation publication. They helped fund this, but in Lima City Schools, there's an art teacher. He's been there for more than 35 years. Mike Huffman is his name. He recently challenged his students to design models that could hold bikes on the street. So bike racks that were aesthetically pleasing but also functional. And it was a longitudinal project. His students had to do tons of research over many months in urban planning, community health, engineering, product fabrication. They worked with a production engineer from General Dynamics who acted as a teaching cohort with this art teacher. They created models. They went through an adjudication process where the models were judged, and then a couple of models have been selected for a fabrication and installation in downtown Lima. These are middle school students who did this project over the course of a school year. So the multidisciplinary learning is evident, and yet it's still fine arts training along with everything else. And there's a real world application that's relevant to today. Look at Columbus with all its bicycling activity, which is so good in so many ways.
Jackie? And I just wanted to add that a very important piece with the performing arts is just that ability to get up in front of people. That's a huge, there was some program used to be the Fear Factor or something that said the greatest fear in this country is the fear of public speaking.
Right.
So our kids have the opportunity to get up on the microphone, recite a poem, sing a song, just speak as an MC at an event, and they have that confidence. So that I know that when we have an event, if a news team would come, I could just close my eyes and point, and know that any person, any young person that I point to is going to be able to speak beautifully about the program, and have that confidence. So that serves you if you become a lawyer, a teacher, almost any profession. Mm-hmm. That's a huge life skill.
Kat Harris, have you noticed that with some of the kids that they enter the program and they leave it, or they move through the program and are changed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just for me, as for an example, I've never been a shy person, but just a big confident boost that I went through from beginning of the program to where I am now, where I can be on the radio and speak to you and talk to the news or talk to different people. Like last year, a couple of our participants got to go to Art Day with Ohio Alliance for the Arts and got to actually speak to Ohio representatives. And
you mean at the State House?
And at the Rife Gallery.
Right, okay.
And a lot of us were really nervous, like, we're speaking to senators, and it's like, you see them in a different light. And after the first one, we got so comfortable, and there wasn't that fear anymore.
Right. We have an email from David in Hilliard. He says, we should not overlook studying art history. So much about the past is learned from art. It teaches us so much about society. Tim Katz, that's another aspect of it, of course.
Certainly. Can't argue with that a bit. He's right.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival at the downtown riverfront. The festival will continue through the weekend, host more than 280 nationally acclaimed artists, as well as food from some of the city's finest local restaurants, performance artists, all kinds of music and dance and poetry here. If you have a question or comment about the festival, you can go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. We're talking about art education this hour. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. Jackie Calderon, as far as Transit Arts goes, how much do you talk about the history of the performance arts?
Well, sir, we're based a great deal in hip-hop culture. And so in that specific example, there's a lot of work out there that's considered hip-hop by the mainstream public that is not true hip-hop, you know, what you might hear on the radio, commercial radio. And so our artists are constantly informing the young people with the roots of hip-hop, the African roots, the poetry, the visual arts, that whole history of changing our communities. And that's an important piece for the kids to know that, wait a second, there's something really deep about this, and it has something to do with how we are engaged in our community and learning for life.
And it's part of a discipline.
Absolutely.
Which sometimes art is overlooked in that way, but there's a discipline.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a great example of different ways to look at the same thing. Art history isn't necessarily about ancient history. Mm-hmm. It can be about the background of contemporary forms and their originations. And what Jackie does in that example is something that kids are interested in and can relate to. And as they get more and more involved and engaged, then the curiosity will be stimulated to look at other issues that are maybe a little more traditional.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about how dance instruction and that sort of thing, Jackie, is missing from schools, especially urban schools, where it's probably a lot of it. It's a funding issue. It's a priorities issue. There's other issues that they struggle with that maybe, you know, a suburban school doesn't. Is that a void that you think necessarily needs to be filled at the school level too, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's kids learn better when they're moving. You know, I've seen so many kids who have trouble sitting still. We were talking about doodling earlier. Everybody learns in a different way. And you have some of those kids who they start to shut down during the school day because they have all this pent up energy. And so I believe that the dance gives them a focus. And there, again, a lot of studies shows that it helps. In my own life, I've seen kids who had trouble focusing, and sticking with that discipline to help them read better, learn other art, other forms, math.
You know, I wish we had the psychologist back on the phone, because we were talking earlier when we were talking about doodling, and I was joking around how I used to sneak doodle during class when I was in grade school. I would put my hand under the desk and I would be doodling. How much more do we understand about how kids learn in conjunction with that kind of outlet? Tim Katz?
How much more do we understand now than we used to?
Yeah.
Well, I think we do.
That was, of course, ancient history that I just was discussing.
And I wonder if you'd be allowed to doodle now in a lot of classrooms. I don't know.
You're only 21 years old. You're not too far gone, Kat Harris.
I believe no, because a lot of teachers want you to focus primarily on them. And
they think that by something like doodling, you're not.
You're distracting or you're not paying attention. And because I'm in college, even had college professors was like, what are you doing? You need to focus. Or they want you to take notes a specific way, or mm-hmm. they want you to do things how they were taught and not how you need to teach yourself to even pay attention.
I was also joking that now I have my Instagram where I post my doodles, there must be a lot more opportunity to show people what you're doing now because of the internet. Jackie, I mean, you can tell people more, so much more now.
Absolutely. It's kind of dangerous because I find myself up at 2 a.m. posting Facebook pictures of the kids. But it's powerful, especially we're still dealing with issues of race in our clearly in our community. And so to be able to post all these beautiful, positive images and videos of powerful work, positive doings by young black men, in particular young black people, saying, here are all the incredible things we're doing. Here are all the dads taking care of their children. We're countering some of those messages that get out there. And so I look at our young people as incredible ambassadors through the arts to change minds and educate.
And I think getting back to your original question, Anne, I think things are changing in a positive direction. I mean, you know, innovative teachers know that the breadth of expression and the breadth of learning is wider than it's ever been because of the accessibility of information and the ability to share information. So that is the direction things are going. And again, arts education is so relevant to all that. And that is, they are the basis for the 21st century skills that are needed.
Yeah, you know, you see so many selfies, you know, out there. And when you're doing a selfie, Kat Harris, it's probably got a lot more function and form than many of them we see. Because you're showing people something that you've created.
Yeah. Selfies, like most people think selfies, they just show the face. But you can do a lot more with the selfie. You can show, like, I know some people, like, I follow on Instagram. They do cool things with their hair. Uh-huh. And so that's their way to do their art is do these weird, intricate braiding things they do with their hair that are part of their selfie, but it's more than that. And then, like, people that make sure that their backgrounds are really cool or how they dress even in their selfie is part of their art as well.
Right. Well, I want to thank you, Kat Harris, for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kat Harris, she's an apprentice artist at Transit Arts. Also, Jackie Calderon, thank you for joining
us
today. Jackie is director of Transit Arts. It's a youth arts program of the Columbus Federation of Settlement Houses. We're talking about art education today. Coming up, we're going to hear from author, illustrator, and arts educator Michael Rosen. We're broadcasting live from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival, downtown Columbus. The festival continues through Sunday. We're going to be here through till noon. And you can check out the WOSU booth. We'll be here all weekend. I'll be back on Sunday for that. We're broadcasting live, though, right now. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. We're on location this morning from the Columbus Arts Festival, which kicks off officially in about 15 minutes and runs through the weekend. Still with us is Tim Katz. He's Director of Community Arts Education for the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education. And joining us now is Michael Rosen. He's a former Thurber House Literary Director. Michael is a writer, editor, and illustrator of more than 80 books for both children and adults, and both. He has received numerous awards, including the National Jewish Book Award, the Simon Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance Book Award, and the Ohioana Library Career Citation in Children's Literature. Welcome back to All Sides, Michael.
Always a pleasure, Ann.
It's been too long. Michael, you're not a big fan of the first idea or calling on the first kid to raise his or her hand in class. What does that have to do with creativity, and why is that an issue for you?
You know, one of the things that arts do in general is slow things down. And we live at a pace that's breakneck and hasty and impatient. And when you ask kids to think not just what is the right answer, in other words, what is 2 + 2, there's one answer for that. But if you say, you know, what is the best blank, or what would you do if you could blank? I am not at all interested in playing Family Feud. In other words, most people will say one of the following few things. And what happens often in schools is if you don't pause, create some stillness, allow kids to create some choices, they make a hasty choice, which is of no interest to them or anyone else in the class. And so you ante up discipline problems because it's boring. You ante up a lack of follow through because I wasn't really interested in what I came up with anyway. Why do I have to revise it or color it?
You don't own it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So creating choices before making choices is a huge pleasure. And, you know, I should start by saying that I really have admired what everyone has been saying and queuing up today, and I just want to add that the arts are not like fat, which we should remove from the diet and it's healthier, or too many carbohydrates, you know.
A luxury.
Arts were never meant to be a different science than science or math or, you know, movement as in athletics. You know, the arts were an approach to the world. And when we think about, you know, should they be extracurricular? Should we have when I go to Indianola, you know, informal school where I was taking photographs for the National Association for the Education of Young Children, they wanted pictures of integrated learning, how are kids working together, coming up with decisions, how are they doing more than workbooks, sitting at desks. When I went to Wycliffe Elementary School Progressive Elementary to take similar pictures, you know, everything that happens there, yes, there is an art room and there is a music room and there is a place where you can move more elegantly than in the classroom. But all the ways of problem solving involve creative expression, involve thinking harder, longer, and more acutely, and are pushed toward just what are the academic outcomes and standards that we need to meet are denaturing the very idea of learning. Because arts are part, like fat, is part of what we consume.
We were talking about that earlier, about how to assess art. We're in an era of assessing and figuring out how much bang are you getting for your buck. And I wondered if that wasn't a little oxymoronic to talk about it in that way, but there are ways to measure, do you think?
Sure, there are metrics. There are things if you want to say, okay, we want kids to write poetry. We want them to keep a journal. We want them to, as Tim was suggesting, design something. You know, those can have benchmarks of, like, for example, when I've taught creative writing even on the college level, I'm not going to grade on talent. I'm going to grade on did you come? Did you participate? Did you keep a journal? Did you turn in your assignments? Basically, are you present and engaged? And I think, again, that's still looking to say, you know, what is art intrinsically? It's fine to take a trip to the museum and look at paintings and study the line work of this artist or the color palette of another artist. But what I think we must underscore over and over is it's one thing to inform. A lot of teaching is only focused on let's get the information across. Where is the education that makes kids care about that information? You know, to make them empathic, to make them individuals. What do I do with this knowledge that I have? Do I just regurgitate it? Do I just memorize it? If you allow them to participate, and that's really what the arts do, they allow you to imagine, here is this awful event. Here is this historic debacle. Here are these people 1,000 miles away living in a completely different life. Why should I care?
You know, it's interesting you put it that way because I can still remember one of the things I remember about learning about Native American history when I was in grade school in Michigan was dyeing cloth using sumac.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Is that what you is?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of saying that the Middle East or the news that we read, how do we attend to the news? Well, we don't. We basically just say, yeah, that's happening, a lot of stuff. I don't really know. It's beyond me. But then we can read a play by Shakespeare. We can go to the movies and come out weeping and crying about people that don't even exist or that were, existed centuries, decades, eras away, because that is what we're looking to do. We are empathic creatures, and every story, if we can find ourselves in it, if we could imagine what it was like. You know, I went to the new Holocaust Memorial there on the State House lawn, and just reading one story out of, okay, here are 6 million Jews and homosexuals and feeble-minded people and all, you know, all this, and you immediately put up your yeah, I know that fact. I learned that enough. You read the one story of the two brothers or the two friends who were separated in the at the camp and the triage that was being performed in that place, standing where you are, and you know, you can participate as I can imagine what that would be like, as opposed to, yeah, I learned that. I can imagine what that's like is what we want education to be. We want resilient children. Hmm. We want kids that have sympathy and engagement and not just, yeah, yeah, I took a picture, I was there.
That, you know, the idea of participation is kind of resonating with me, Tim Katz.
Well, I think I was just going to say you often hear, and I think this is at least in part what Michael is saying, is that you often hear the phrase arts lead people to an understanding of what it means to be human. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's absolutely right about that. I mean, there are all kinds of things you can measure. There are, you know, elements of composition and music and dance and visual art in there. There are a lot of, you know, terms and things that need to be learned that are fact-based. But then when you involve expression and involve all kinds of other cognitive skills, it leads to a different understanding of life. And I think what Michael's talking about is just people engaging with one another in a shared human experience, a shared consciousness on some level that's also crucially important.
You know, we know all about the Leonardo da Vinci's and you know, great mathematician, great inventor, great artist. Where do you think we've fallen off the cart here?
The key things is that word discipline, you know, that was being used earlier, like, it's humility, it's practice. I mean, right now, everybody can work Photoshop, everyone can take pictures, everyone can publish their poems online, everyone can everything. I'm not saying that isn't fine, but what the arts really were about and still should be about is the humility of, that wasn't so easy, I need to try it again. And that wonderful humility that says, look, now I can do this. Why is yoga so popular right now? For in some ways the same way, people who didn't think they could do something, by committing to doing something over and over in a group with some people, you know, say, wow, I am now capable of this kind of flexibility physically, and now with the arts, flexibility mentally.
And the arts requires an acceptance of incremental achievement.
Absolutely.
Not, I learned a fact. Yeah. I got it right on the test.
Yeah. You know, arts, the process of skills development in the arts is a methodology for teaching crucial skills in editing, in revising. Mm-hmm. It's a constant cyclical process, experiential, and it is the skills of revising and editing, thinking critically about what the product of that is, applying that knowledge to the next experience or the next revision, and continuing the cycle to try to achieve what you had in your mind or whatever your concept of perfection is. And so it isn't so simple. It isn't just, you know, shooting a photograph off. You know, there's value in that, and there's communication there, and that's important, and it's become very important in today's world. But I think what Michael's talking about is something deeper. And again, the arts are the perfect media for teaching those skills of editing and revising and perfecting and the cognitive skills that are involved in that.
Do you wish, Tim Katz, that there didn't have to be an Ohio Alliance for Arts Education?
Well, that's a good question.
Did it come from a dearth of arts or a fear that there would be a dearth of arts in education or...
I don't know that I would say it was fear-based, but I think it was, you know...
That might have been the wrong word, but...
Well,
you know.
Alliances all over the country were structured to support arts education and arts educators. I think that, you know, anything, whether it's thriving or suffering, still needs support. It needs backers. I mean, if there's anything that you learn working for nonprofits or working in the arts in particular, is that you must constantly... advocate and renew advocacy activities to keep things going and to successfully serve the constituency that you're trying to serve. So I think it was just, it's a good question, and I get the question, because ideally there would be terrific arts education K-12 outside of school time, and you know, an advocacy network wouldn't be needed. But I don't know that that's a realistic thing to worry about too much.
And Michael Rosen, you're always working at advocating for the arts. It's just sort of imbued in your very existence, I think.
It is an orientation. I mean, and I think what, as Tim was saying, it is such a profound reward to see someone say, oh, you know, I can't draw a straight line, or I don't really know how to sing, or to be like the Harmony Project is an example. People who don't or do know how to sing, it doesn't matter. You're going to be in this incredibly rewarding thing that if you discipline, join, you know, you'll feel the back of your neck tingling with exhilaration, knowing that, you know, you're on the stage of the Ohio Theater and 2,700 people are looking at you. Mm-hmm. How many times in your life does 2,700 people look at you?
It's so
powerful. I had
powerful.
To MC for the Harmony Project to get
right.
that one.
Well, people listen to you, 2,700.
Yeah, true.
It is so powerful, and you see it at the level of the Harmony Project. I see it with Jackie Calderon's Transit Arts program, her kids. It is so empowering, and I'm telling you, there's no doubt that it changes lives. It impacts people in an extremely profound way. And I think any mm-hmm. member of that Harmony Project choir would agree to that. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that whether they would know how to express it or realize it mm-hmm. at this point in their younger lives, but those Transit Arts kids agree with that or will do when they become adults.
Tell us, Tim, about some of the activities that there are for kids to do here at the festival. We have just a few minutes, and I promised you we would get to that, and I've completely forgot.
No, that's okay. Yeah, the Arts Festival wanted me. It's terrific to be here, and the festival is always great and exciting.
Perfect weekend.
Yeah, perfect. They have a hands-on art area, and I can't list all the things that will be there, but there will be an opportunity with COSAI to make a Sherlock Holmes hat. Make your own deer stalker hat. Glass Axis will be here again to help people with torches mold their own glass beads. Ohio Craft Museum is doing a cool project, wearable collage. Saturday only, Shadowbox Live will have kids interactive in theater games and then perform a fairy tale. Parents can watch the performance. Sunday only, Columbus Crew has a kick accuracy inflatable.
we can only guess.
And I want to make sure and mention the wonderful teaching artist Candace Mazur Darman, who once again this year will be directing multiple performances. This year it'll be James and the Giant Peach by her Grass Patch performers. Multiple performances. You can see page 6 of the festival guidebook for details. Candace is absolutely terrific. Her group Dramatic Impact does this every year. They will be located on the west side of the river at the northeast corner of the intersection of Washington Boulevard and Rich Street. Bring a chair and you can watch performances. They're really, really fun, and she does a great job.
Lots to do, lots to see. One thing that people can do, too, here that I think they often forget is talk to the artists. What a great opportunity.
Absolutely. The artists are sitting with their
they love to talk
their
about
stuff
their work.
All day, and they will talk about their work. And you can learn so much about just the life of an artist talking to people. It really can be, again, powerful, and you'll learn things that you just didn't know, or you'll erase assumptions that you make about the life of an artist by really having some interaction with one.
Tim Katz, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ann.
Tim Katz, he's Director of Community Arts Education for the Ohio Alliance for Arts Education. Also, Michael Rosen, as always, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Ann.
Michael Rosen, author, illustrator, and arts educator. And want to remind folks, we're broadcasting live today from the 2014 Columbus Arts Festival, downtown Columbus. The festival will continue through Sunday. We'll be here to noon. I'll be here back here on Sunday if you want to drop by at the WOSU booth. We host more than 280 nationally acclaimed artists, food from some of the city's finest local restaurants, performances all over the place. So join us down here at the Arts Festival today. And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.